The federal government wants to make all foods safe by enacting H.R. 2749, the Food Safety Enhancement Act. This is good because we all want to eat safe food, right? But just as we were about to search out the world's best street taco, we got to wondering, for whom does the government want to make food safe?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 643rd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Todos Santos who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I'm Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Producer Carol Stafford on the phones.
Hello, everyone.
And Parmley Taff is off for the day. Folks, the federal government intends to make all foods safe by enacting H.R. 2749, the Food Safety Enhancement Act of 2009. And this is good, of course, because we all want to eat good food. But before we start gobbling down those street tacos, let's read what Representatives Henry Waxman, Democrat of California, and John Dingell, Democrat of Michigan, have in mind as to how they are going to make all foods safe. 111th Congress, first session, H.R. 2749. To amend the Federal Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act to improve the safety of food in the global market and for other purposes. And for other purposes? In the House of Representatives, June 8, 2009, Mr. Dingell, Mr. Waxman, Mr. Pallone, Mr. Stupak, Ms. DeGette, and Ms. Sutton introduced the following bill, which was referred to the Committee on Energy and Commerce. A bill to amend the Federal Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act to improve the safety of food in the global market and for other purposes. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress, assembled. Whoops, folks, I can't do it. I just can't read the rest of this. In spite of my degrees in English and Chinese literature from the University of California, I simply cannot read H.R. 2749 for you. But it's okay, because the dirty little secret is that the congresspersons who vote on these bills don't read them either, and neither do the congresspeople who write them. But we wonder about that for other purposes. What exactly do they mean about that? In conducting a global search of the legislation with a find, you know, on your computer, we discovered that only two references to the and for other purposes are those two mentioned in the introductions we just read. Thus, we'll simply have to snoop around and see what others have to say about what the for other purposes of H.R. 2749 might be. Here's something from the American Association of Health Freedom. The Food Safety Enhancement Act of 2009 gives the U.S. Food and Drug Administration unprecedented scope, authority, and power over small farmers, food producers, and supplement producers, including the power to use vague language and to intimidate and threaten. Imposes unjustifiably harsh criminal and civil penalties for even administrative violations, places undue economic hardship on small and mid-sized farms and food facilities, both organic and conventional, which could easily drive many of them out of business and lead to monopoly control of food by large corporations. Provides for random, warrantless searches of all records dealing with any aspect of a food company's production, manufacture, or distribution process. Provides for complete control over recalls, seizures, detentions, quarantines with no judicial oversight. Wow! Holy smokes! These notes lead us to ask, for whom does the government want to make food safe? Here to help us find an answer, we have Pete Kennedy, who's an attorney with the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. Pete, welcome back to the Food Chain.
Morning, Michael.
How are things in perfectly flat Florida?
Really hot.
Really hot. Well, good, and it's good to have you back. We only seem to be talking about very strange subjects when we talk with you. Last time we talked, we talked about how the government was breaking into a farmer's house and arresting the family for selling food to their neighbors or something. And now we're talking about a bill that's ostensibly designed to make food safe, but it doesn't really sound like it.
It's more intrusive government regulation. I mean, there's one of the points I made to you last time was that there are basically two food systems in this country now, the industrial scale food system, food that's mainly purchased in grocery stores and supermarkets, but there's a booming local food movement where people buy from small farmers, local artisanal producers, and we've got farmers markets growing at a rapid rate. But what this bill does is it tries to impose a one-size-fits-all regulatory scheme on...
on everything.
Yeah, on everyone.
So tell us quickly about the Farm-to-Consumer Legal Defense Fund.
Okay, we're a...
It's really amazing that there is such a thing, don't you think?
Well, I mean, there's a need that the interests of small farms and consumers who desire to do business directly with small farms need to be protected in this country. The regulations are mainly drafted for industrial processors, and we're there to fill that need.
Good. Also with us today, we have Tammy Wall, who's the legislative director for the American Association for Health Freedom. Tammy, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you. Good morning.
You're from tuning in from the Washington, D.C. Metroplex, I assume?
Yes, I am.
Good. And the American Association for Health Freedom?
Yes.
Who are you?
Well, we are a nonprofit in D.C., and our primary focus is to ensure continued access to integrative medicine-type treatments and to dietary supplements is our broad mission statement.
Okay, good. Who pays your way, Tammy, the American Association for Health Freedom?
As far as our funders?
Yeah.
We are a member-based organization, and we also have foundations and grants that we receive.
Okay, good. Pete, who funds the Farm-to-Consumer Legal Defense Fund?
We are a member-based organization. We get very little corporate money. Had a foundation or two that have helped us out, but mainly our revenues are derived from our members and small donations.
Okay. Also not with us today is Congressman Henry Waxman or anybody from his office for that matter. We did ask them several times to join us and help us work through this legislation. But Henry Waxman is one very busy guy. He's the guy that writes the cap and trade legislation and also this Food Safety Enhancement Act. And it's really amazing that America has such talented people that they can make all food safe and end global warming all at the same stroke of a pen, but you can see why he's very busy and unable to join us today. So let's get right to work here. How is H.R. 2749 different from H.R. 875, the Food Safety Modernization Act of 2009, which was introduced into Congress by Congressperson Rosa DeLauro, who is the Democrat of Connecticut? Pete, what's the difference there?
Well, there are a couple areas that stand out. First, they've established a national, this bill establishes national growing standards for produce. So it doesn't matter if you just have a garden and happen to have a roadside stand or just occasionally sell it or sell at farmers markets, you are going to be subject to these national standards. So you're basically going to be have your practices are going to be dictated by the federal government through regulation. Another provision that stands out in the bill is this bill gives the government to quarantine food in a geographic area, and it gives them basically power to halt all movement of all food, and they've got the power to do that without a court order. It's one of the things this bill is notable for to me is it just provides for less judicial oversight over FDA than has been the case in the past.
Tammy Wall, is our food unsafe? We're going to have to pick that up when we come back. Is our food unsafe? What on earth is going on here that caused a stampede of regulation and legislation to take over the food chain of the United States and make it safe by making it nearly impossible for anybody that's not very, very, very big to produce food and sell it to you and I? What on earth is going on here? Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain. Today we're talking about H.R. 2749, the Food Safety Enhancement Act, put forth by Henry Waxman and John Dingell from Michigan. And they're out to make all of our food safe, but we wonder just who they're making it safe for and what are the and other reasons that they put in that legislation. That's what we want to ask. We will be right back with Pete Kennedy, Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, Tammy Wall, American Association for Health Freedom, right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, you got to read all the fine print to know what the heck's going on, and what the heck's going on right now are a whole bunch of government initiatives to make our food safe, which is good, you know, because you and I want to eat safe food, right? Well, but we wonder just who the government wants to make food safe for. And we read the introduction to H.R. 2749, the Food Safety Enhancement Act, and it says to amend the federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act to improve the safety of food in the global market, comma, and for other purposes. Now, just what in the heck do you think they mean by "and for other purposes"? This is the Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. Today we're talking about food safety and our government's efforts to make our food safe, or whatever it is they're doing. With us today, Pete Kennedy, who is the attorney from Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, Tammy Wall, Legislative Director, American Association for Health Freedom. Not with us today is someone from Congressman Henry Waxman's office, who is the author of this bill. And we were going to ask him what the heck is in it, but he is very, very busy guy. He's the congressman that's responsible for ending global warming by introducing cap-and-trade legislation, and now he's introducing food safety legislation. He is one very, very busy man. So we're starting off by saying, why are we introducing all of this legislation to make food safe? Is our food unsafe? Tammy Wall, what do you think, American Association of Health Freedom? Is our food unsafe? What's going on here?
Well, if I could briefly, just by way of background, you had referenced H.R. 875, which was introduced by Congresswoman DeLauro. The food safety is just a very politically ripe topic right now because of the recent outbreak, which has stemmed from large industrial facilities. And so initially, when all the outbreaks were going on, there was a lot of talk about removing food in its entirety from FDA, and that is what Congresswoman DeLauro's bill did. It created an entire separate food safety entity.
Oh.
And so now what we have under 2749, everything is still within FDA, but they have given FDA sweeping authority. So even though it's not a separate entity, they've very much expanded the power.
Okay. Well, let me go back to the question. Is our food unsafe?
Yes, and I'm sorry for digressing.
No, that was an excellent explanation. I've been scratching my head, you know, trying to figure out why the stampede of legislation, and that was a good explanation. But really, do we need it? Is our food unsafe?
Well, I tell you what, I think the larger industrial facilities could use some additional preventive control mechanisms, hazard analysis, and maybe even some food tracing. So, yes, in that regard, yes, because you have imported produce and we're exporting and we're trying to harmonize on one particular standard when you're dealing with international standards.
So one size fits all, so that which is good for a giant industrial factory of some kind is also good for the neighborhood farm?
Right, and that is our major hang-up with this, is that it is the one-size-fits-all, and what's happening is the small diversified farms, organic farms, are the ones who are going to feel this the most.
You know, some weeks ago I did a radio program, a food chain segment with food safety lawyer Bill Marler, who follows around, you know, food contamination situations where people get sick from eating bad food. And he said, you know, for the past 25 years or however long it was that he's been doing this work, he has never once found an incident in which food from a farmer's market sickened anybody. And yet here we have a piece of legislation that puts that segment of the food chain under the same segment of the food chain where people do get sick. Pete Kennedy, why is that?
That's a good question. Our position is, I'll give you an example in the legislation. There's a traceability provision in H.R. 2749, which calls for a tracing. The words they use are the full pedigree of the food in question. And number one, I don't think anyone has any idea what that means. Does that mean if it's a moldy ingredient food, we have to trace each ingredient? Does it mean we have to trace the inputs?
Essentially, it means whatever they want it to mean then, right?
That's, yeah, they're basically inventing a new meaning for the word pedigree. And just when you're dealing with local foods, it's... traceability is placing a phone call to the farmer who...
Yeah, you sold me that egg, dude, and I'm really pissed. I'm coming out I'm coming out to visit you. You sold me that bad egg. I know where you live. Why the sudden panic to enact all this legislation? I mean, all of a sudden, it's boom. What's going on?
There's been an outcry, like Tammy was saying, over these recent
the spinach
outbreaks, the Peanut Corporation of America, and Congress has responded by just going
hog wild,
not concentrating the legislation on where the problems really are, but the food imports and the industrial system, and just trying to draw all our food system in, and it's really one of the solutions to the food safety problem in this country is the local food movement, and they're trying to portray that as
one of the problems.
The problem, okay. Yeah.
And in addition to that, if I may, to fund this Food Safety Enhancement Act, they're implementing an annual registration fee of $500. And they will generate significant money from, including the smaller diversified farms and the organic farms from doing that. So it's a huge revenue maker to include everyone and not exempting out the smaller farms.
So producer Carol Stafford made me a jar of apricot jam here. And had she charged me a nickel for that jar of apricot jam, she would have had to register with the federal government and pay a $500 registration fee, right?
Possibly. There's a farms are exempt from the registration requirement, but there's a broad definition of farm where anyone who processes food, such as making jam,
right,
would not be considered a farm. To this point, FDA really hasn't enforced the definition strictly. I'm only aware of one farm. This was a Farmstead cheesemaker who was asked to register his farm. But I think there are a couple things to consider here, Michael. What you're looking at is At this hearing, one of the hearings on this food safety bill, it was disclosed that there are only inspections done of about 6,000 of these food facilities,
right?
These food processing plants, and
somehow they missed the Peanut Corporation of America
and many others. And what totally now there are about 370,000 of these facilities that need to be.
I sense an army of inspectors.
Right. Oh, yeah. I think what could happen is a couple of things. I mean, there are over 2 million farms in this country now. Many of them would not be considered farms under the bill if they took the strict interpretation of it. So you're going to need all these inspectors to get out to all the food facilities to inspect. So at $500 a pop, there's a lot of money potentially in the farm. So
wow. So here we go.
There'd be the incentive for FDA to strictly enforce the definition of a farm in the law. And just the other thing is there's still a number of areas where basically the state governments have a food sovereignty right now. I mean, they can regulate, establish different regulations for food than the federal government does.
Right.
For instance, you know, most of our farmer members produce raw milk. Raw milk is banned in interstate commerce right now, but in over half the states, it's legal to slaughter.
Are you saying the feds can take over that?
Yes, I'm saying they could ban it in a couple ways. Number one, there's a...
You have to hold it, Pete. We have to take a quick break. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about the government takeover of our food chain via H.R. 2749, the Henry Waxman John Dingell bill to make food safe. But for whom, we ask right back. Well, the government is going to make all our food safe. But for whom? That's what we want to know. We really want to know what's in H.R. 2749, the Food Safety Enhancement Act. It says the bill is designed to amend the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act to improve the safety of food in the global market and for other purposes. Before we left, we were talking about how this bill might enable the federal government to supplant the states in their determination of how best to manage their own food chains. So, Pete, how does the government take over the states' rights on this?
Okay, there are a couple ways. There's a provision in the bill that calls for performance standards, and the provision talks about the performance standards that will reduce contaminants. FDA's opinion, when that comes to raw milk, that would mean pasteurization.
Okay.
So they could...
so much for raw milk, right?
Right. They could just call for a national performance standard, and raw milk would be, from that point on, banned in interstate commerce. But say, I mean, raw milk is just the demand for it has increased substantially the last few years. Say FDA thinks it's a bad move politically. They don't want to introduce that performance standard.
So
what's going to happen now is domestically there are about 125 to 150,000 of these food facilities they're going to have to inspect. And remember what I said, last year they only inspected between 6,000 and 7,000. So they're going to need state employees to help them with that inspection. So you've got these states in poor financial condition right now, and you've got the FDA throwing this money at them, and they'll have influence on state regulation of what were formerly just under foods or issues that were formerly under state regulatory
authority. And whereas the states cannot borrow from their children and the children's children's children to pay for these things, the federal government can. And
yeah,
so will. And
they've got that press called the Federal Reserve.
Right.
So they can, just use this carrot and stick approach. Well, you know, we'll hire some more state inspectors, and these state ag departments are getting their budget cut right now. But in order to get this amount of money, you might have to ban raw milk or make it more difficult people distributing it.
And we'll blame it on you.
Right.
Tammy Wall is a legislative director for the American Association for Health Freedom. I got to ask you, in this bill, it mentions twice that it's designed to improve the safety of food in the global marketplace. And then it has a comment that says, and for other purposes. Is that something they put in all legislation, and for other purposes? Well, I mean, it's just like, and then we can do whatever else we want too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you do see that quite often. It leaves it open-ended and subject to interpretation and kind of gives them free rein, which you will see very similar language throughout the Food Safety Enhancement Act, which if you violate this and this or anything else that we may find. So it's very vague and open-ended language.
Okay, let's talk about some of the rules and regulations that we're going to be faced with. First of all, what is a food production facility? Tammy?
A facility has been defined. The core definition of facility has not changed when it comes to the registration process or the registration fees that are in the bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's a factory, warehouse, establishment, any place that would manufacture, process, or hold food.
Or hold food?
A facility. Right. A storage of some
storage
sort,
facility.
Like a middle person, a middle entity.
And farms and restaurants are not included in this, correct?
Right, but a farm is defined narrowly.
Except for what?
for instance, someone processing food would not be a farm under this regulation, and that could include washing produce. It could include bottling milk. So it's just a very narrow definition of farm.
And again, subject to interpretation or reinterpretation or misinterpretation by whoever wants to do that interpretation.
Yeah. The FDA has actually issued a guidance document dealing with this issue of what is a facility. But the thing is, under the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, FDA is not bound by any of their guidance documents. So
it can. This is what we mean today, but we can change that meaning tomorrow.
Sure. Yeah, they can or change their interpretation. They might have one interpretation today, but they'll have a different one tomorrow.
Okay. What does the Food Safety Enhancement Act ask of food processing facilities? What do they want them to do, Tammy?
Well, and just for clarification, that's only dealing with an annual registration fee is when it comes to the facility.
Right.
But as far as farms, they are included in the rest of the act. When it comes to the hazard analysis, the food traceability, they are included. And that's why the Ag Committee, they just held a hearing this past Thursday, why they were so up in arms, because it's crossing boundaries with USDA, with FSIS when it comes to beef and cattle. So for just the registration is where facility and farm are clearly delineated, and everything else does include a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Farms would be subject.
Okay. And what do they want everybody to do?
Well, it's everything from, it could be very expensive administratively to implement these things. Again, it's very broad language. There would be a hazard analysis, a food safety plan. Then they need to do preventive controls. There'll be random inspections, which everyone is subject to right now.
Okay, so let's talk about the preventive controls. For example, here in California area, we have a situation with respect to spinach and leafy greens. Now, the problem with the leafy greens is that E. coli 015787 has somehow contaminated the leafy green food chain and made a lot of people sick. Now, the people who got sick are people who eat the bagged spinach. Nobody has been sickened by fresh farmers market spinach. So there's a difference in protocols here between these small-scale organic people and the industrial people. The industrial people have been asked to essentially denude their farms of all wildlife and wildlife habitat. And then the organic farmers go the other way. You know, they encourage habitat for beneficial insects. So there's two different worlds there. How does the Food Safety Enhancement Act resolve those two worlds?
Really doesn't, Michael. I mean, they, like I mentioned earlier, they are going to have national growing standards.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a provision in the act that they would take into account just the effect these regulations could have on small diversified farms, but it appears to be that there will not be a two-tier regulatory system.
So there's not going to be, it's going to be one size fits all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And the language in the act is the secretary may. It's not requiring the secretary to do much.
Okay.
All he's required to do is to take it into consideration.
Exactly.
Yeah, in the actual regulation, he's not required to account for the difference between and growing between the industrial scale and just the local farm.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain. Hey, you're invited to participate today. Who do you think the government is trying to protect with the Food Safety Enhancement Act? 800-642-665, 831-479-1080. Love to hear what you have to think. This is the Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. Today we're talking about food safety, and specifically H.R. 2749, the Food Safety Enhancement Act, being proposed by Congressman Henry Waxman, Democrat of California, and John Dingell, Democrat of Michigan. With us today, Pete Kennedy, Eternity Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, Tammy Wall, Legislative Director of American Association for Health Freedom, and you, 831-479-1080. Give us a ring. Welcome back. This is the Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. Today we're taking a look at the Food Safety Enhancement Act, H.R. 2749. To amend the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act to improve the safety of food in the global market and for other purposes. What do you think those other purposes are? Who do you think the government is out to protect in enacting this legislation? Two things stand out with respect to this legislation, Pete Kennedy and Tammy Wall. One of them is that it's a one-size-fits-all piece of legislation. One piece of legislation that will fit everybody that handles food. The other thing that is striking about it is that it's really ambiguous and subject to all kinds of interpretations. Are those fair characterizations, Pete?
Yes, I think so. They're just some... it's not... FDA said they might use these powers of... For one thing, for instance, they there's a provision in there that deals with inspection of business records, and under the bill, they're allowed to execute a warrantless inspection of records. And in the past, they've been allowed to do that when they had evidence that. There was the food, there might have been a case of adulteration. Now what the language of the bill says is they just have to see whether there's any violation of bearing on the act. In other words, they can just look and see if, well, let's see if your labels are, you know, let's just look at your records to see your labels are in order. So they need absolutely no evidence to...
to come in and check you out.
Execute these searches of business records, and they're basically empowered to go on a fishing expedition if they want.
Tammy Wall, what happens when they find you being a bad boy or bad girl?
Well, according to the Act, with all these new administrative requirements in place, and let's say there was an inadvertent, paper misfiling or something of the sort, they've expanded the definition of adulterated and misbranded, so that it could carry a significant penalty.
What's significant?
Well, it all depends. Currently, if it's an unintentional type violation, then it, you know, could be up to a year and a $1,000 fine. And then if it's knowingly, and this could be even knowingly for a mere paper violation, it could be up to the 10 years.
10 years in jail?
Which is a new provision. And yes, that's correct.
And not only that, just say you have a minor violation, failing to register your facility that has nothing directly bearing on food safety. Each day you have a violation continues is a new offense under the bill.
So it could compound itself. So essentially they could put anybody they want out of business whenever they want to, because nobody ever does everything right when it comes to paperwork.
Right, and they can just say, okay, you've been out of compliance.
You're dead.
For a half a year, that's 180 violations.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to fine individuals up to $100,000. So.
Which, you know, overall, it's not a bad idea when you're dealing with a large industrial facility, and if they knowingly mm-hmm. put something into commerce and people are harmed, you know, absolutely. It's a nominal fine. It's a nominal jail term.
Okay, you have this legislation now. Who is going to have access to these congressmen? Is it going to be the neighborhood farmer who mislabels something, or is it going to be the giant agribusiness concern that has a fleet of lawyers flying around in business jets? Never mind. Let's go to Dave and see what Dave has. Dave, welcome to the Food Chain. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, good show. I had heard, basically, I feel like this is just a piece of legislation to protect big ag and, you know, the big food conglomerates. I mean, the little guys aren't even going to be able to...
Well, I guess not. The little guys are... I guess somebody heard Dave calling in and terminated his phone call because he just disappeared. Let's try Adelia. Adelia, are you there, hon?
I'm here. Hi.
Very good. Go ahead.
My concern is, what good is it to do so much regulation on local farms and national farms when we're importing produce from farms that we can't control how they're producing their food?
Ooh, good question.
That's a great point. I'd like to address that. It was brought out at these food safety hearings that only about 1% of our food coming into this country is inspected right now. And just what else these hearings have brought out is just how much food we import into this country right now. They said out of 370,000 food facilities, 220,000 of them are located outside the country.
Wow.
So one thing, I mean, it's important to improve food safety, but another issue is just food security, trying to make this country as self-sufficient in food production as possible. And at one of these hearings, you had John Dingell saying that in the future we're going to be importing even more of our food.
Well, so isn't that what this is all designed for? Is to ascend? I might be totally out of hand here, but it seems like this legislation is designed to get rid of domestic agriculture and supplant it by giant factories producing Soylent Green in some kind of factory in China. I don't know. This is the Food Chain. I'm Michael Olson. We're talking with Pete Kennedy, attorney for Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, Tammy Wall, legislative director, American Association for Health Freedom. The government is going to make your food safe, but for whom? Right back. Well, it seems to me like the only way domestic agriculture can survive the Food Safety Enhancement Act, H.R. 2749 of 2009, is that if the government allows them to survive it. Because, Lordy knows, you and I can't do all the paperwork perfectly. And unless we have a fleet of attorneys and accountants, then we screw things up. But if you screw things up under this legislation, you're subject to deep doo-doo and very deep doo-doo. So who's going to survive this H.R. 2749? Pete Kennedy?
If the government, if this bill passes and the government enforces the provisions in it, many small farmers and local producers will not have the economies of scale to be able to comply with the regulations, and they'll be basically...
Governmented out of life.
Well, they're forced to a situation they either break the law or go out of business.
Tammy Wall, who's going to survive?
Big Food.
Who is?
Big Food.
Big Food's going to survive.
There's no way that a small diversified farm or an organic farmer can keep up, much less not only with the financial, but the administrative paperwork and complying with their current system and then implementing something new, especially when it's not warranted. There's no need for it right now. As you earlier in the show were talking about your conversation. Right. There's just been...
There's no need.
Exactly.
Dave, what do you think? Who's going to survive?
Yeah, no, I completely concur. As a matter of fact, I heard that the testing equipment that would be required for all food producers is in the million. You know, a small organic farmer is going to have this $1 million contraption that tests its food. And then again, they're going after the supplement industry again, too. So this has been lobbied, I'm sure, by big food, big ag, you know. They used the peanut scare to just drive the point home, and now they're pushing through a piece of legislation that's really going to just knock those small guys out of the off the playing field.
Good thing.
It's tragic too, you know. It's so apparent as well. And the FDA protecting us from anything is really quite a joke. I mean, seriously.
All right, Dave. Thanks for the call, Bob. Let's go to you. Who's going to survive? The government.
Yeah, I don't think this is about food at all. I think the food thing is collateral damage. I think it's about destroying the small farmer. It's about rural cleansing, about getting the farmers off the land. In our history, the Jefferson yeoman farmer out there with his musket is a tremendous political force in this country. The countryside controls the cities to a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
If we had a civil war, people in the countryside would control the water, the rail, the bridges, roads, highways, whatever. And
maybe what they want is this for all of us to live in little tiny boxes stacked way high upon each other in a city, and just sit in those boxes and watch television and eat safe food from China. Is that what they want?
Concentrated in towns. If we have agriculture in the countryside, it'll be industrial agriculture performed by people who don't live on the land.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at those maps of the 2000 election of the red and the blue, and look at it from the standpoint of a military eye, you can see that the blue people are pretty much held hostage by the red.
There you go.
So, Bob,
thanks for that phone call. We're out of time here. Today we've been talking about the H.R. 2749, the Food Safety Enhancement Act, brought to you by the same people that are bringing you Cap and Trade. Very interesting there. It's fortunate that the country has such intelligent people watching over our health and well-being. With us today, we've had Pete Kennedy, attorney with Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. You can look them up by just Googling Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. And Tammy Wall, legislative director, American Association for Health Freedom. Who is going to survive the government's attempt to make food safe for us? Give us a look up at metroforum.com and join us on the forums. Thank you all for joining us. Remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.